You can prevent them from boarding the ship without killing them. Can I now? Victor's voice echoed the scorn he felt. Warn them. Remind them of how vulnerable they are. Men don't always behave logically, especially when their lives are at risk. Warn them, Dorne insisted. Victor stared at the cyborg for a long, silent moment. At last he said, "Words won't stop them." Dorne reached out his prosthetic hand. "Let me have the pistol, then." "No," patiently Dorne explained. "I'm a good enough shot to hit that big laser welder they're carrying. Perhaps a warning from you and a disabling shot from me will discourage them. In any event, you don't want them to use the laser to ruin the fusion drive's thruster, as they did to Hunter." Victor thought it over for half a second. "Maybe all he wants is to get the gun away from me. He could probably crush it in his metal hand. Then we'd be totally defenseless." "I don't want them here any more than you do," Dorne said, his metal hand still extended. "But we at least should warn them that we'll defend ourselves if they don't leave us."
"He could take the gun from me," Victor was thinking, "and probably break every bone in my hand while he's doing it."
"Killing should be our last resort," Dorne said. Reluctantly, Victor handed him the pistol. Then he clicked on the radio frequency that the scavengers were using. "Don't come any closer," he said sternly. "We're armed, and we'll defend ourselves." The seven approaching figures did not waver. They were close enough now to see the weapons they were brandishing. Valker answered, "We're armed too, and we outnumber you." Dorne raised his prosthetic arm, and holding the pistol in his human hand, cradled it in the metal one. "You're hanging out there like targets in a shooting gallery," Victor said. "One puncture of your suit and you're a dead man." The scavengers kept coming. Using both hands, Dorne raised the pistol to eye level. He pressed its infrared finder with his thumb, walked the red spot in the IR scope center to the flank of the welder that Valker carried cradled in his arms. He squeezed the trigger. The welder flared as the laser pulse punched a hole of molten metal into its side. Valker twitched and yelped and let go of the bulky tool. It floated weightlessly for a moment, then jerked as the cord connecting it to its power pack pulled it short. The smaller man carrying the power pack let go of it, and the two pieces floated away from him. Victor heard the scavengers cursing and muttering. "Go back to your ship," Victor told them. "Leave us alone." Valker hung in emptiness, watching the laser welder and its power pack tumble slowly away. Kirk was beside him an arm's length away, the five other members of his crew hovering around them. "Go back to your own ship while you can," he heard Victor's voice in his suit's radio speaker. "You can have Hunter and Syracuse. Leave us alone." "You're willing to give us two ships that are going to mangle each other while you take the one that's in perfect condition?" Valker shot back. "A sweet deal for you."
"Go back to your own ship," Dorne said. "My next shot will kill you."
Valker heard the cyborg's threat, as calmly unemotional as an ocean wave surging onto the shore.
"I thought you were a priest," he shot back.
"Don't push me," Dorne said. "The killer inside me can break through and cause havoc." The airlock of Pleiades was close enough for Valker to clearly make out the two men standing inside its open hatch. One of them, the cyborg, he guessed, was holding a pistol rock steady in both hands.
"He's pointing it straight at me," Valker realized. "One puncture of this suit and I'm a dead man. The freak's right. We're exposed out here. He could kill four or five of us before we got to the hatch."
"All right," he said, fingering his jetpack controls. "All right, you win. For now."
Kirk growled.
"You gonna let them go?"
Valker made a toothy grin for Kirk.
"You want to go in and be a hero?
Go right ahead. Be my guest."
But Kirk had slowed down, too. All seven of the scavengers hovered in the emptiness, close enough to Pleiades almost to touch it, while Dorn stood inside the airlock with that one pistol locked in his unwavering hands.
"A whole fucking ship," Kirk whined.
"You gotta know when to fold your tent, boys," said Volker, "and silently steal away." With enormous reluctance, the scavengers started back toward Vogeltot, which now was separated from Syracuse and slowly edging farther away from it. "We'll get some," Volker assured his men. "Once we're back in Vogeltot's, we'll power up and chase us all the way back to Ceres," Victor's voice cut in. "Good, do that. I'm sure the rock rats will be glad to see you after what we'll tell them about you." Volker scowled and started to reply. "Oh, yeah? Well, you just might..."
"Hey," Kirk yelled, "they're gonna hit!"
As Theo ducked through the hatch of Pleiades Bridge, still awkward in the clumsy heart suit, he saw Angie, also in her hard shell, sitting at the command chair, his mother and the elderly sculptress on either side of her. Lifting off his bubble helmet as he went to the command console, Theo said, "Dad wants me to..." "I think I've got it all set up, Thee," Angela said happily. "All I've got to do now is press this key, the one that says ignition." Theo swiftly scanned the electronic keyboard. "I think you're right, Angie. I think you've done it." "So let's light the fusion torch and get out of here," Angela said. Theo glanced up at the main screen. "Oh, for the love of God, they're going to crash." They all stared at the screen as Hunter slowly, inexorably, plowed into Syracuse. In the vacuum of space, there was no noise. But Theo saw the two ships smash together in a rending, pulverizing collision that tore both ships into mangled shards of metal. That was our home, Theo realized. He saw Syracuse tear apart, whole sections of its wheel-shaped structure ripping loose, the tube tunnels where he went diving as a kid breaking apart, pipes and pumps from the cranky old water recycler flung into space, a shape that looked like the old sofa from their living quarters, spinning end over end.
"It's gone," Pauline whispered. "Our home. It's gone."
"Hunter, too," said Elverda Apacheta, her voice almost reverent. "Doran will never finish his quest now."
"But we're here," Theo said. "We're alive and we're safe."
"And we're heading for Ceres," Angela added, pressing her forefinger on the ignition key. Pleiades surged into acceleration as its fusion torch drive lit up. Habitat Chrysalis II, Council Chairman's Office. Big George Ambrose sat behind his desk like a smoldering red-haired volcano. The unpretentious office seemed crowded to Theo, with his parents and sister, Dorn and the sculptress taking up every available chair.
"There's nothing illegal with salvaging," George said guardedly, after listening to their story.
Victor had shaved his beard and looked more normal, Theo thought. Grayer, his face thinner, but now he looked like the father Theo remembered.
"Nothing illegal with salvage," Victor agreed. "But when you seize ships that are occupied by their rightful owners, that's not salvage, it's piracy. And murder."
George frowned.
"They would have murdered my wife and daughter," Victor continued, "after raping them."
"They did try to kill me," said Theo. "Dorn and Ms. Apacheta saved my life."
"I guess we'll have to go after them, then," Big George muttered, clearly unhappy.
"They can't have gone far," Victor said. "They'll have to stop for fuel sooner or later."
"We don't have a military force, you know," George grumbled. "Never needed a fucking army until that bastard wiped out the old habitat."
Dorn slowly rose to his feet.
"That bastard was me."
George's eyes went wide.
"What?"
"I was Doric Harbin. I attacked Chrysalis. I also attacked these people's ship, Syracuse."
"That was another person," Elverda said quickly. "He's not the same man."
But George got up from his desk chair, seething.
"You're Doric Harbin?"
"I was."
"You wiped out Chrysalis? Killed more than 1,000 helpless people?"
"I did."
Moving swiftly around the desk, George reached for Dorn.
"I'll break your fucking back!"
Everyone seemed frozen by Big George's sudden rage, except